today we're going to talk about joy. We're doing like a one-off message today. I really loved the influencers talk from Nathan last Sunday. If you haven't heard it yet, you've got to check it out. We're either under the influence or we're being an influence. And God's called us to be people that would be an influence in the world, because we are here to influence and infiltrate and encourage and love and bless and imitate the works of Christ. And as we do that, people are going to come to faith. But today we're going to talk about joy, and specifically, where is my joy and what is my joy, and try to get underneath this. I know we did it a few weeks ago or a few months ago with the joy of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit, but I felt like today God just said, I want you to speak afresh into joy, because it's deeper than we think and maybe in some ways even more complicated than we think. But I want the Lord to come and just radiate His joy in our lives and overflood us and overflow us with His incredible grace. So let's pray just for a moment. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness, and I pray, Lord, we are going to find our joy today, and it's going to set us free in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. So where is my joy? Let me give you just a quick thing or just a quick thought to help you to understand what is joy. True biblical joy is very simple, and yet sometimes it's very hard to put your finger on it. It's more than you think. It's better than you think. It's under things more than you think. But a basic working definition for us today when we think about joy is we've got to think about Jesus, because you can't have joy without Jesus. And then to release that joy, you've got to have faith in Jesus. And the moment that you know Him and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, suddenly you release joy into your life, and your life is forever changed. Honestly, it's this constant joy, and we're going to talk about it today. 1 Peter 1:6 says this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith would be proven and genuine, a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed." You've got to understand, and we've got to know today, that every time we fall into trials, and why are trials there? Well, they're a nuisance a lot of times, of course, and sometimes they're self-inflicted, and sometimes we walk right into them. But every single time, God is using them to produce in us an attitude, a praise, an attitude of our heart, where we will praise, glory, and honor Jesus. This is the idea, that something is being transformed in us, that we will praise, glory, and honor Him in all circumstances, no matter good or bad, He is there. So this is what He's working in me. When Jesus revealed, though, verse 8 says this, "You may not have seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him," and get ready for this, "you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." Wow. Imagine a joy that you just can't put into words. This is the joy that we're talking about today. I'm going to try, but it's hard, because it's inexpressible joy. It's like, wow. It's so much better than you know. It's so much more than we can comprehend. We haven't enough words in the dictionary to fully comprehend how good this joy is. But I'm telling you, it's a supernatural joy, and it's inside of you. And it's not just inexpressible, it's glorious. It's the glory of God Himself. And in Jesus, we are filled with this. And I want you to know today, this, if you're a new Christian in Christ, if you put your trust in Jesus, you will be filled with my joy. I'm telling you, your joy is there. Somehow, some shape or form, we just need to reconnect with it. We need to remind ourselves of this joy. We need to get our eyes off everything else. We need to just allow this joy to rise up like a flood and start to just come out through us. And suddenly, we're going to talk differently, act differently, think differently, be different. We're going to be a joy to be around, and people are going to like us again. I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying? When we are joyful and we've got the joy of Jesus in our lives, I tell you, you are contagious and people want to be around you. You're infectious. People say, I want to spend some time with that person. But what is joy? And to do this, I think we've got to think about a few things. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. It's just the beginning, and I believe there's more. It's contentment. Pure joy, a glorious God joy, is a contentment. I belong to Jesus. Nothing can change that. Romans 8. What can separate me from the love of God? What can separate me from God? Not death, not life, not anything in between. Nothing can rob me of that connection. I belong to Jesus. That forever changes us. But if the enemy can get near it like a sticky plaster, he will start to lift it up and we will start to question. And maybe that's where you find yourself when it comes to your joy. Number 2, peace. You got to know joy is connected to peace, and peace is connected to joy. And when there's a work of God going on in your life, then you know He's in control. No matter. Today you could be facing issues with finance. health, faith itself. You could be facing issues with life, with relationships, with friends, family. I mean, it could be all of those things. But I'm telling you, you can put your trust in Jesus. And if you have done, then you can have peace because he is in control. It's gladness of heart. Come on, we got to know this. It's gladness of heart. In spite of what trial you might be in or what trial you may go through, you can have gladness of heart. I'm not saying that when you're in every trial that you're going to want to sing for joy and dance and jump around. I mean, there are many times you don't feel like that at all. But I'm telling you this, when there's the joy of Jesus in your life, there's a gladness of heart. I will get through this because God has me and he holds my heart. I've got a gladness of heart and God is good. And then there's hope. And here's what I want to say, that our joy does not get removed when we find ourselves in suffering. In fact, our joy seems to increase all the more. In fact, our joy becomes a weapon to get us out of the suffering. And the joy becomes a weapon to help us endure in the suffering. I am telling you today, if you have Jesus and you've put your trust in him, then you have a hope even in the midst of suffering. And in the midst of that, you will find joy being produced to another level. But not necessarily because of the suffering, but because Jesus is right there going, okay, you need more joy flowing in your life. You need more joy in the midst of the suffering. And the suffering will not beat me. My joy will beat it. My presence will beat it. God is with you. And of course, joy is a deposit of God himself in your life. This is what's incredible. The Holy Spirit is producing this kind of fruit in your life, and part of that is joy. And so this is why you're going to find yourself as a Christian frustrated if you're going to try to work up joy all the time. And there's nothing worse than fake joy. Ever notice that? You know, someone just like, they're really happy and excited and they seem joyful, but it doesn't seem, you just can't put your finger on it, but it doesn't seem true. And in fact, it's maybe more them than the Holy Spirit. But true joy says, no matter if I'm in tears, I've got the joy of the Spirit. No matter if I'm going through the darkest valley, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And he's producing something inside of me. Sometimes it just comes out of trial because the joy of Jesus starts to spring up. Not because I'm necessarily happy with my circumstances, but because my heart is glad and he has made me glad and it starts to well up from inside because there's a river inside of me. I'm telling you, church, there's a river inside of you that cannot be quenched. It cannot be turned off. It cannot be removed. The enemy may try, but he cannot. He just wants to get you disconnected from this knowledge. He wants to get you disconnected from the reality of this. So you start to believe a lie. You start to believe that this may not be true, that you may have lost your joy. Last week, Nathan, he looked at Mark chapter 2, and I love this story. I mean, if he didn't preach it, I was going to preach it because it's such a good story. But it's the story of these four friends who pick up their lame friend, and they bring him all the way to Jesus. They can't get into the house, and they lower him through the ceiling, and they get him there. And at the end of it, his sins are forgiven, and he's healed and transformed. And the people turn around, and they say, "We've never seen anything like this." This is the work of God in each one of our lives. And I'm telling you, even today, you may be going through trials, you may be going through brokenness, or maybe you are just cruising, or you find yourself in a place where you go, "Do you know what? Actually, life's pretty good, and I don't even know if I need God." When we find ourselves full of the presence of God, we're always going to be blown away. We're all going to say, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this." This is the power of God in our lives. And the power of God wants to continuously change our lives and continue to flow through our lives. And you're going to see it through joy and you're going to feel it through his joy. You see, when Jesus gets into your life, joy begins to flow. It just begins to flow. Even in difficult circumstances, there's just something about you. There's a presence of God that's just coming off you. But the enemy in your mind, so we know today the battlefield is in the mind. And if you're here today and you're watching or you're listening, you're saying, "I get this and I want this, but there's just something wrong with me." I'm telling you, there's not. But the enemy comes and he whispers and he lies to us. And when lies get sown long enough, you can tend to believe them. I mean, we for lifetimes thought the world was flat. You couldn't convince people outside of that. And then we got a bigger perspective, a wider perspective, and realized the world was round. How much wrong can you be? And I'm saying the same for us as Christians. If the enemy just keeps chipping away, if we find ourselves in circumstances we didn't expect, if things just keep adding up on top of us, if we're not careful, if life just gets on top, the lie can be just sown enough times and you start to believe it. And you start to say, "Oh, wow. Where is my joy?" But your joy is found in Jesus. And today, I want to ask the question, have you ever lost your joy? Or sometimes you're like, I don't know if I lost it, but I don't feel full. Or maybe you're like, I feel like there's something missing in my life. I'm not sure what it is, but I feel like there's something missing. I want to tell you, maybe it's the joy of Jesus. And just a flame needs to spark again. A flame needs to come afresh in your heart so that you can experience that true life and that true love again. And I wrote down just a few things, maybe just to grab our attention. Joy in serving. You know, the joy to serve Jesus is one of the greatest gifts that we can have, because really one of the only thing that we can offer him is our service, is our heart. And then I ask you the question, well, what about your service? And you're like, well, I'm not sure. I'm not that I'm unhappy serving, but I'm talking about joy in serving Jesus. And it's not just about your boss. And, you know, look at our time that we spend with our boss or our friends or our family or even our kids. We can find ourselves in a position where we serve them so much more in terms of our time than Jesus. And I want to say to you, come on, let's challenge our hearts. I want to be serving Jesus, and I want to serve him with joy. I want to serve him with great joy. Number two, joy in giving. I mean, I got to get real with this. I mean, if I remember a study not that long ago, it said if the American church, and we're going to blame them just for a minute, and then we'll blame ourselves. Come on, I'm only joking. We're just going to look at this and be real and be honest, because sometimes truth hurts. And we looked at the facts. We looked at the believers in America, and it said this: if all believers in America would tithe, just that 10% minimum, tithe 10% of their first fruits, tithe 10% of their income, world poverty would be wiped out overnight. Wow, speechless. I mean, too often our problems are that we don't have the finance to fulfill the vision and the call that God's got for us. I don't believe in that whatsoever, because God always gets around it. But I'm telling you, you are missing out if you're not serious about your giving. If you're not getting serious about your giving, and in fact you give better to Sky, or you give better to your phone, or you give better to the coffee shop man, then something's wrong, because our giving should be to Jesus first. And again, I'm being real, but I tell you this, where our treasure is, there your heart is also. The Bible is so clear about this. We can say that we love him, we can want to love him, but I tell you what, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I just want to put that check on your spirit. If you've lost your joy, maybe you forgot to put your treasure in the right places. Because if we put our treasure in the wrong places, we will end up with the wrong things. And so there's treasure in giving to God, and there's treasure in giving to him. And as we put our treasure in him, suddenly we find fresh life again. Joy in reading. Maybe we're reading so much more. We say, I don't have time to read and I don't have time to pray, but we spend so much time on our social media. We get so much time with our friends, and we say to ourselves, maybe I need to realign some minutes. Maybe I need to realign some minutes so I'm spending it with him. Joy in our faith. Joy in our serving. Joy in our singing. Joy in our giving to God in every aspect. And you're sitting there, you're listening today, you're watching today, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know about this joy. What am I supposed to do? In fact, I feel condemned. I want to tell you today, do not feel that. If your joy is lacking or empty, just get to Jesus. This is the answer to everything. And this is what I'm going to reveal today. I want to show from the scripture that if we can just get to him, everything changes. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she got to Jesus, forever healed. The girl who was dead, was 12-year-old who was dead, and the same story. Jesus gets to her, her life's forever changed. You see, if we can get to him, or he can get to us, wow. Everything changes. Everything begins to change. See, to be a Christian is not complicated, but we can overcomplicate it by the other things that start to come into our lives. If we can just keep it simple, my heart is for him. My life is for him. I'm going to live for him first, and then he's going to live through me. Wow, everything's going to flow the way we need to, and we're going to know the joy of the Lord. We're going to know the joy of Jesus. And when we go to do things, things won't feel dry unless the Lord's working on something. We will be in the right place with him. Things won't feel empty. There won't be this, there won't be that. There will be a fullness, there will be an overflow, and we will understand our place in him. And so maybe today we got to get ready for a Christianity checkup. What about that? I know maybe the test idea or just getting the checkups freaking you out, but I mean, we do eye tests, and sometimes we figure out that our glasses aren't right, and we got to get ones that we didn't think we needed to. Sometimes we got to do a class test to find out where we're at with our work. Sometimes we got to do an MOT test. I got one coming up after 2 years. I'm like, please, Lord, help it to go through, you know, for our car. And right today, we need to do a faith test. Faith test for us. Here's what Luke 10 says, verse 25. No, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to Jesus and said, Teacher, he asked, what should I do to inherit eternal life? This is what we're all after. Our faith is not simple. I want eternal life. God, what's the answer? He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and love your neighbors as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And then the next verse, it goes on to say this, and who is my neighbor? I mean, I don't know why you picked that out, but it's like we're trying to always say, well, what's the very least that we can do? What can we get away with? And God says, I don't need that heart. The heart that I need is a heart that knows that they've been forgiven. And when you've been forgiven much, you love much. That's what Scripture says. But let us do a quick heart check. We've got to love them with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might, and love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're going to score out of 1 to 10, I don't know where we find ourselves. Let's do 1 to 100. Maybe we'll feel better. I don't know. Can I just suggest this is not really about the score, but it is important to every now and again, every day maybe, constantly just checking in with God and just say, God, come on, where am I at? God, reveal to me, make me aware, because the Word of God just cuts through our motives. The Word of God cuts through our hearts, and suddenly we'll hit this here and we'll go to ourselves. Heart, soul, strength, mind. Whew, Lord, I think I need your help. And here's what God's saying not to do. You cannot do this in your own strength. I think that's why God puts it all in there. Heart, soul, mind, strength. I mean, there's just no way you can do that. You can only do it through his help. But when you do, this just naturally flows. Could you imagine? I don't know, maybe you're in love today. I hope you're in love. If you're not, well, maybe someday you'll be in love. But you may be in love with something. You may be in love with someone, hopefully. The chances are, if you're in love with that person, there's just... Time's not an issue. Time? No worries. We'll spend as much time as we want together. Money, take it. You can have it. You know? This, yes, of course, you can have it. You want more? Yeah, sure. Have it. It just naturally flows in a loving relationship. I was just talking about kids. But maybe you're talking about a loving relationship where you're in love with a guy or in love with a girl. But there's demands in relationship. And yet we don't really think of it like that. In our relationships with love, there's a lot of cost. And yet we don't really think of it like that. And sometimes there's a lot of loss. And yet we don't really think about it like that. But if we reduce our walk with God down to just kind of going with the flow and just kind of going to church, then we will find ourselves doing tick boxes and checkbox exercises and saying, have I done enough? Can I get this? Can I get? And it will just become this transactional relationship instead of one of love. But when we're in love and we know that he's in love with us, then the goodness of God just begins to flow. And I want to encourage us today, maybe there's the check in our hearts where we just got to say to ourselves, I don't know, maybe there is a love change needs to happen. Revelation 2, the church speaks, and we actually may do this verse in a few weeks' time, but here's what it says. Jesus speaks to the church. As he speaks to one of the churches, you've got the letters to the churches, seven churches, and as he speaks to the church, he turns around to him and he says, hey, I love your works. I love your prophetic edge. I love the great things you've been doing. I love the way you're working in the community, but I've got this one thing. I've just got this one thing. And it says, and it's a crushing blow to the church. I've got this one thing. You don't love me the way you first did. Wow. And it's like, but Lord, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm doing this. We're seeing people see it. We're seeing great things. And he says, but here's my one complaint. And it gets straight to the heart. You don't love me the way you first did. Church, how do we get to that place where we love him, where we first did? We got to stay close to him. We got to stay humble. We got to stay close, connected to him, and he just continues to flow in our hearts. We got to stay close. We got to stay full of the joy of the Lord, because that joy propels us forward. You see, life can become empty. Reading can go from, I really love to read the Bible, to it's like non-existent. And being a Christian can even become hard work. And I want to suggest to you today, if your Christianity, if your walk with God has started to become hard work, then come on, let's get close to him again. Let's do a restart. Let's get close to him and allow his presence to flow. Here's what I love about the relationship with Jesus, is that yes, there may be some steps you've got to take. Yes, there may be a program that could be helpful. But here's how relationship works. Time and proximity. If you can get close to him today, if you can spend some time with him, if you can make it last longer than 2 seconds, if you can get locked into his presence, I am telling you, you will get all that you need and more. And you'll be like, why did I not do this sooner? Because a relationship with him is incredible. Let him come and just spend time with you. Let him come and just wash over you. Let him come and just think it and watch how that joy just begins to flow. Because remember, it's Jesus plus faith gets me all the joy that I need. It's just an natural overflow. Joy always gets tested in trials. It always does. And I think sometimes this is where we get caught out, because our joy gets tested. And it's not necessarily in the sense of you're losing your joy, or it's your joy at the forefront. And so when that trial comes, it's your joy on the line. No, not really. But it's our relationship with God. And if the enemy can get in and sell you a few lies and you start to believe and ultimately get to a place where, is God really good? Can you really trust him? then suddenly it undermines us. And before you know it, that vessel, as the Bible describes it as, instead of it being strong and intact and us overflowing with joy, and maybe you want to think of joy today as maybe just like water or just this kind of incredible, we're just filled with something. We're filled with the joy of Jesus. It's just this overflow. Well, if I could take a few leaks, if I could plug a few things out, if I could get a few holes in that jar, before you know it, you might be scraping around trying to get a drink. You might find yourself on empty. You might say to yourself, wow, what happened to my fullness? This is the goal of the enemy. In times of trials, in times of lack, he wants you to question the goodness of God. But here's what I want to say when it comes to God and some good news to underline and underpin and put into your heart. Joy and love still work in suffering, in loss, in grief, in heartache. It never stops working. Just that joy of Jesus, because it's supernatural. It's a supernatural deposit. It's not a top. It can go right underneath it. It can go right over it. It can all consume all of that stuff. And it can even increase because God is so good. But the biggest lie of the enemy, or the biggest lie of ourselves, is that something must have changed. I'm not where I was before. I'm no longer any good. I'm not this, I'm not that. And we start to question things. And when we begin to question, especially our walk with God, or our question our relationship with him, we can start to get suspicion. And anytime we start to get suspicion in any relationship, we start to ask the wrong questions. Is he really good? Wow. We start to go from a place of no doubt to we begin in doubt. We go from a place of certainty to uncertainty. We go from a place of like, I can trust them 100% to I'm actually going to work from no trust back to trust. And it's not good and it's not healthy. But the enemy is the author of lies. He's the one that can never, he's never told the truth once. He's never been good once. He just continues to lie and lie. But the truth is that God loves you. So let me give you a few verses today to encourage your hearts and then we'll be done. We're going to go to John. John 15:9 says this, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's just this idea of this attitude of abide means to live. If you would just live in my love, I want to tell you, he just says from the start, I love you, my Father loves you. It's just a place of love. It's all about love. It's not about doubt. It's not about question marks. It's not about suspicion. It's not about hard work. It's not about trying to keep hold of something. No, you are in love. You're in my love, and my love covers you. And in that love, I want you to know that you will just naturally fulfill the commands of God. And as you fulfill the commands of God, you will keep your joy full, and you will see incredible things take place. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain. Notice this word, remain. In you, and that your joy may be full. Notice the word full. This is my commandment, that you would love one another as I have commanded you. We've, number one, a call to live in God's love. What a wonderful call. Can we just for a minute go, what an incredible call from the God of the universe. He just simply says, hey, could I call you to love, to stay in my love? Wow. Sure, God, help me, and he will. And through his power, you will stay in his love. Number two, he gives you a command. And all it is that you would love him and love people. I mean, it seems like a pretty good deal. Like that's it's not like you got to pay this much. It's got to like you got to do this. Or you got to be all against yourself for that thing. No. It just simply says love God and love people. Wow. Okay. Through your help, God, I'll do it. Love sounds pretty good. And then in return, a joy that remains and a joy that's full. Jesus plus faith equals joy. Number one, I want to look at these two things just for the last few moments. Joy that remains. Here's what the writer is just saying, here's what John is simply saying. The disciple who loved Jesus had said that he rested on his chest. It's like he got so close to him. He was part of that inner core, probably the one that Jesus loved the most. And he turns around and he says, here's what I've learned about his love. And here's what I've learned about his joy. It's joy that remains. It's permanent joy. Imagine this, maybe in your circumstance right now where you're saying to yourself, man, I'm trying to look for joy. I'm worried that I've lost my joy. I'm worried that my joy is empty. I'm telling you this, you have in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, permanent joy. It just can't be taken out. You know, you ever had, I don't know, maybe if you've seen kids before and they write on your wall, maybe in your office, like my office, and they wrote on my lovely wall with permanent marker, it just won't come off. It just will not come off. I've thought about it. I've rubbed it. I've got this. It won't come off because it's permanent. I'm telling you, this is the joy of Jesus in your life. The truth is, his joy is permanent on your life. You just can't get it off. You just can't shake it. It's just right there. It is permanent. It's joy that doesn't leave. It's joy that always stays. It's joy that's just his presence. It's always there on your life. And then it's joy that's full. And again, this is an attack of the enemy. I just want to make it feel like you're empty, you're this, you're that. No, 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 you may, but I'm telling you, your joy is full. Your joy is full because Jesus doesn't lie and the enemy does. And full, means complete, means overflow. In fact, it's a continuous flow. It's not just a fill it up in the jar. It's like Jesus knows you're going to flow out. You're going to go through some costs in your life. You're going to go through some battles. So I'm just going to continuously flow. And so it's continuously overflowing. I don't know if you've ever had a flood in your house. It's not so nice. But it illustrates the point. This is what Jesus is doing in us. This is what he's doing in our lives. It's just a continuous flow over and over and over and over and over again. Just in case you're leaking any, just in case you lose any, just overflow, continuous. It's a continuous flow. And here's my question. If this is not your experience, then a lie has taken root or we've got distracted from abiding in him. Because the only thing that God calls us to do is to abide in his love. Abide in my love, and then you will love me with all your heart, and you will love your neighbor as yourself, and you will have joy that remains, and you will have joy that's perfect, and you will have joy that's always complete, and you will have joy that continuously overflows, and you will know me in all your fullness. The only question is, have we got distracted from abiding in him, or have we started to believe a lie? We're going to pray today that God's just going to remove that. We're going to pray today that he would come like a flood and overflow you. Here's the solution. Jesus said, we need to ask. John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. And notice this, but ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Wow. Church, I want us to ask today, if you're watching, wherever it is, you're listening, wherever it is, I want us to ask, and we're going to talk to Jesus now just for a few moments. And I want to just encourage your heart. Joy doesn't mean it's forcing happiness during difficult circumstances. Come on, that's weird. I'm not going to force it up. I'm going to know the joy of Jesus, even in the most difficult situation. But joy does come in every season. This is the truth. And it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the truth. And joy comes from choosing Jesus in every circumstance, because our joy is him. Come on, we're going to pray and ask the Lord today. I want to pray. I just feel like today that, you know, just wherever you're at, there's some deficit in your joy. There seems to be some space in your joy. There seems to be a disconnect in your relationship with God. And anytime that happens, then we start to experience it in our joy. And the goal is not to go after joy. The goal is to go after Jesus. And as we go after him, suddenly the distance comes down and we start to remain again in his love. And as we do that, everything changes. So come on, we're going to pray, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray today for just fresh joy. I just encourage us wherever we are that we just begin to open up our hands, we begin to open up our hearts and we say, Jesus, okay, I want to come close to you. Jesus, I need to come close to you. I want to begin to abide again in your goodness. I want to begin to abide again in your love. Lord, thank you today that our problem is not joy. Our problem is abiding in him. And we can do that by knowing that God loves us and then allowing his love to keep us in his love. Lord, as we do that, we keep your commands. As we do that, we find ourselves loving our neighbor. We find ourselves naturally not thinking of ourselves first, but second, maybe even last. And as we do that, we start to realize, wow, my joy really is intact. So I pray, Holy Spirit, today, would you come remove any lies that have got a foothold in our thinking, any strongholds that have got a foothold in our thinking. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, bring them down in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, the word says that you have perfected us and you've caused our joy to be perfect and complete. Let that perfect work of joy, let the perfect work of love just begin to overflow and flood us right now in Jesus' name. Remove any doubt, any worries, any suspicion. And we just ask you that the author of lights that has come and maybe sown a lie to us or distraction of time or other things or other relationships. Lord, we just ask you right now that we would get bold with that. And we just say, Lord, I need them all away. I need to focus on you only. Jesus, you're my one thing. I pray, Holy Spirit, for just that oneness in the Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that just right now today, Holy Spirit, speak to your people, encourage our hearts, and let us never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.